Hi, lovelies. My name is Raquel, and welcome to another episode of the Shri Sessions, Rebel Women Living the Divine. I'm finally stateside once more. I just got back from a month in Costa Rica last week. And if you've been reading the blog, you'll know that I'm trying to relax into the whole process of integrating, which is one of the hardest things to relax into. And of course, the day that I get back, Boulder received a foot of snow. A foot of snow. Which is a little shocking to my system, saying that I had just been in tropical heat for the past month. But I'm really excited to be back and to be sharing what I've learned and just getting back into a groove, getting settled. So, in addition to my return, lots of things are happening right now. Monday was the first official day of spring, and we've got a lunar eclipse in Libra, and all over the world, people are celebrating this cycle of rebirth, welcoming spring back. And I'm definitely noticing something in the air, some sort of anticipation for things to get going and for new projects to start blossoming and for the weather to get nicer and all that good stuff. And for me personally, it's super easy to start worrying and future tripping on things that haven't happened yet. I also notice myself getting really impatient for things to start rolling and not taking the time and honoring the time that it takes for projects to start. So if this is ringing true for you, it's important to know when you're spinning out a little bit, when you could use a little bit of grounding in your own practice, which is something that I can usually use more of personally. One of my favorite grounding meditations is working with obsidian, which is essentially black volcanic glass. In the Mexica tradition, this glass was given to us by Pachamama, by Mother Earth, and it's formed deep within volcanoes and therefore really grounding, very protecting, purifying, and it also allows us to see things more clearly. Ani and I will talk about obsidian's role in seeing the shadow side of yourself and your actions, but it is a very sweet stone, very protective. I like to think of obsidian as that sweet mama energy in the palm of your hand. You can take it with you. It's that same mother energy that is very protective and nourishing, but will also call you on your shit and tell you what's real and what's going on. I love to just hold the obsidian in my hand or put it in my lap as I sit in silence in the morning or at night. It's a really great way to start or end the day. Now, speaking of obsidian and grounding practices, Anya and I had a great conversation about yoni eggs, which I'm sharing with you today. And I love how spring appropriate this interview is. We've got our naughty little Easter yoni eggs, and we'll talk about some grounding stones, including obsidian and jade. And the egg practice itself is very earthy. It's all about the root and sacral chakras. Anya is also giving an incredibly generous discount if you're tuning in. Now through April, you'll receive a 15% discount when you enter the code SHRISESSIONS in the comment box when you check out. So that's 15% off any kind of yoni egg that you are into, and I'll include her website and all of the details in the show notes. Anyway, I am so excited to share this interview with you. So please, especially with this topic, if you have any comments or questions or experiences, whatever you'd like to share, please do. I would love to hear them and get this conversation started. I think it's a really important one to have. So kick back, relax, and enjoy this full moon episode of the Shri Sessions. Welcome everyone to the Shri Sessions, and I am here with Anya Urania of Lovestone Yoni Eggs for Sexual Wellness, and she's based here in Boulder. Thank you for joining me today, Anya.
Thank you for having me here, Raquel. It's my pleasure.
So, Anya and I, we got connected. I found you on Facebook, and I'm just so fascinated with the practice of yoni eggs and just the energetic activation of this space for us, especially as women. So I want to know how you even got into this work.
How I got into this work? Well, I think I always had interest in sexuality in mm-hmm. general. I think my attitude to it changes as I go. Mm-hmm. My relationship with the sexuality keep changing. But I started being interested in some kind of Kegel weights. And that's what it was for me at that point. Just Kegel weights, just mm-hmm. working the muscles. When I was 20. Mm-hmm. And I kind of touched on that practice. I bought some kind of Benoit balls from the sex shop.
Sex toy shop.
Yeah, I was really shy going there. It was in Moscow. I remember it was a snowy day. I got out of subway. I didn't go to the sex shop next to my house. I went somewhere really far.
The one across town.
Yeah, totally. Like, nobody's going to see me here. Uh-huh. I went to the sex shop. I bought those Benoit balls. I worked with them for a little bit. I really didn't like them because they were like made out of plastic. Not really something new. It's not pleasurable to mm-hmm. hold it in your hand.
Yeah.
You know, but I thought they would do the work and then I kind of abandoned it.
Yeah.
The reason I even got interested in some kind of Kegel weights or devices is because I thought I would have more fun with sex, or like, have more pleasure, right? And it's all valid still, right? But as the time went by and I got into yoga, meditation, and other practices, I started realizing that there is so much more to sexuality, and this is such a great resource to fuel other aspects of our lives. Mm-hmm. You know, the sexual energy, as we just discussed, I think it's a super fuel for pretty much anything you want. It's this raw, creative, primordial energy that, you know, there's so much energy, you create the baby with it.
Right.
This is crazy. Yeah. Like, there's so much energy, it can create life. Mm-hmm. Imagine what else can create if you just learn to work with it. So I started becoming more interested in Taoist sexuality, Tantra, you name it, all kinds of things. Yeah, meditation. And I was reading the book by Mantak Chia, mm-hmm. and he's an expert in Taoist sexuality. I think he's a really popular author. And he was talking about the yoni egg practice there. He was talking about this crystal eggs you use to work your muscles. And I was like, whoa, crystal egg? Like, why would I use crystal? it was really weird for me. But uh-huh. I'm like, okay, this book recommends crystals. I must have it. If he says I need it, that's what I need to work with, I must have it. So I started researching it. It was maybe about 2 years ago.
Okay.
I started looking for yoni eggs online. And I couldn't really find any good source of it. There's like a couple of bloggers were selling them. There was mm-hmm. some kind of jade eggs, supposedly jade eggs from China, were sold on eBay.
Yeah.
It was really, looked really suspicious to me. Yeah, so I was having a really hard time finding the good source for those crystals. And I'm like, well, I don't want to just put any crystal up there, you know?
Right.
I want to make sure this is good quality, like I'm safe. It's not going to do me harm. Mm-hmm. And I finally found one source and I ordered it online. It was not cheap. And when it arrived kind of like this, wrapped in the bubble wrap and with no instructions. It's just this piece of crystal. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to wash it and put it up there. So I did.
And hope for the best.
Yeah, hopefully. Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm just going to dive. And that's how I do things usually. Uh-huh.
Quick, like, and dirty.
Yeah. Like, I'm just going to dive in and see what happens. I'm not going to overthink it. Uh-huh. Yeah, sometimes it works out. Sometimes it comes with the consequences. But yeah, I did it. And then I think that one was a little too big for me. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know what to go off of. You know, I didn't know what size to find. What size is right for me. So yeah, it was a little too big for me. And then as I inspected it closer a couple of days ago, I was like, oh my god, there's so many cracks on here.
Oh, no.
Like, are you sure it's safe to use?
Yeah.
Isn't the bacteria going to stay there? Uh-huh. Or, like, you know, I have all my rational mind kicked in. I'm like, whoa, what am I doing?
Yeah.
And then I realized that I'm probably not the only person who is interested in this practice, but there is no good, reliable sources online for this product. And mm-hmm. I just thought to myself, there is a way to do this better. There is a way to find good quality crystals, research them, make sure they're safe, provide information to women who want to do this practice. So yeah, that's how it started. I just wanted to help other women that are on this journey mm-hmm. to find a reliable supply of yoni eggs, or learn about this practice and not just have be a supplier, but kind of be on the mission of telling people about this practice.
I love on a mission. I love that. So your practice went from this purely physical and kind of doing it like for, I almost feel like, well, the way I started, the whole reason, one of the things I was into this was I was pretty young when I discovered this practice too. Mm-hmm. And it was just sort of the same thing, like, oh, sex toy shop, weighted eggs, this will make your vagina tighter.
Yeah.
So you're going to please your man. You know
exactly.
What I mean?
Exactly. That was the drive behind my motivation as well. I was like, I want to please my man. I want to be ahead of the herd, uh-huh. you know? I'm going to have this skill, so I'm going to be more desirable.
Yes.
It wasn't, the focus wasn't really even on me, having more pleasure or maybe connection with my partner. It was like, I'm just gonna be this prize, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, yeah.
And our obsession with, like, having, even at a young age, like, having a tight vagina is super important.
Right.
You know what I mean? And when you learn more about it, you realize, like, having a super tight pelvic floor, tense pelvic floor is not really a good thing.
Exactly.
It's a dysfunction.
Yeah, there are actually some people I've talked to that it's a problem for them, and mm-hmm. they're asking about the yoni egg practice or jade egg practice, and they're like, I already have a really tight pelvic floor. Do I need this practice? This is a problem for me. This is a problem for my husband, you mm-hmm. know, the tight pelvic floor. And yes, you can overdo Kegels. You can overdo jade egg practice, Kegel weight practice if you're not doing properly. Mm. So there should be a cycle of tightening and relaxation.
Mm-hmm.
So contraction and relaxation is really important, and that was a big point in this workshop that I took a couple months ago with Mogadao. Mm-hmm. Daosis sexuality, there was a lot of focus on relaxing your pelvic floor, and how when you relax your pelvic floor, your energy just start flowing differently. And if you're not, there can be like a build up of this energy. Can feel overheated, you can feel uncomfortable, so it's really important to relax.
Mm.
Yeah.
And it does evolve from becoming a purely physical practice to involving, like you say, the creative energy, and having that be almost bring more attention to the seat of our creative energy.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many systems, you know, like the Svadhisthana, the second chakra, and the Dantian we were talking about
mm-hmm.
earlier, the lower Dantian. And, you know, especially for women, I feel like this is the seat of our power and our connection to each other and our ancestors and our daughters,
exactly.
you know, so our future and past and present. It really connects us to that, and it's sort of bringing our attention back to these feminine practices.
Mm-hmm. I love what you just said about the connection to ancestors. Mm-hmm. And I just remembered something and realized, my friend actually brought it up to my attention a couple of days ago. You know, when you're pregnant and you're pregnant with a female, you have a daughter in your belly, mm-hmm. she already has the eggs in her that are gonna be, you basically have your grandchildren in you wow. when you're pregnant.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Oh my gosh. So you have at least two generations in your body if you're pregnant with a daughter.
Exactly.
That's insane. So why is it important now? I mean, I feel like I've heard the idea of yoni eggs or practicing with jade eggs on and off for the past couple years. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I keep hearing more and more of. So why do you think people are so into this? Why is it important right now to be working with not only with the jade egg practice, but also like all of the energetic stuff? I feel like women mm-hmm. right now are really, really into it. Why do you think that is?
Well, my personal opinion is I think it's just another practice like yoga or qigong, you know, shamanic practices, shamanic journeys, like all this is coming to light. Look how yoga became popular in the next, in the last couple of years, right? Mm-hmm. Just the last couple of years. Before that, nobody really heard of yoga. Or people thought that yoga is like, yogis are people who just walk on hot coals, you know, right. and do all these tricks. That's what we thought yoga is. Right. And it's been here for thousands of years, you know, this yogic practices or meditation, qigong, it's all. There is a long, long lineage of all these practices, but they were all hidden, they were all secretive. Mm-hmm. And I think right now they're becoming to light because people are ready for them, but also because I think the people who carry those practices, that carry the lineage, they feel that the society is ready and we need this right now. We really need to accelerate yes. our development as the society in general, because like, look at that. In 50 years, we're going to just destroy ourselves yeah. if nothing's going to change. So I think we're at this tipping point, and all these practices are here to help us to shift the paradigm. And our society has been on this very masculine side for very long. It was really imbalanced. I'm not saying that masculine is bad in any way, right? Uh-huh. It's just anything is bad when it's not balanced. And I think that this masculine became an unhealthy masculine because it was really suppressing the feminine side of ourselves, of our culture, just feminine in general. You know, mm-hmm. we're denying it, we're fearing it. And I think it's time to bring this back, to bring the balance back. Yes. Yeah, to change our ways.
Yes.
That's why I think all these practices are becoming here. And they're not just becoming more available. I think they're fusing together into this eclectic combinations. You know, people don't just do yoga, or they don't just meditate, or they don't just, I don't know, go to jungle, drink ayahuasca. Right. They do all of it. They do all of it because I think, yeah, we really need to combine all this knowledge right now to create something new. That's my personal opinion. I don't know if it's right or not, but I want to believe that.
Yeah. I love that you bring up the point of this remembering of these ancient arts or these ancient techniques. And then taking those, it's like a process of remembering and learning, relearning them maybe, and then making them applicable to our modern lives, mm-hmm. regardless of lineage and tradition. It's like we're picking and choosing what is applicable to us and what makes sense to us now mm-hmm. and what is sustainable. And I think that's one of the most important things when you start, you know, either a yoni egg practice or a meditation practice or whatever, you have to do what is sustainable for you.
Exactly.
I read this really great quote. It was like, what is the most important practice of your day? I forget who said it. I should look it up. But this person said, the most important practice that you do is the practice that you do every day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so true. We have to look at what we're capable of doing, You know, you can wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to practice asana for 20 minutes and then meditate for an hour and then do my yoni egg practice and then go to the gym and then go to work. Like, is that really sustainable? That's a great goal, but how long are you going to do that for?
Yeah, this is not easy.
You know, if you commit to just 1 minute of meditation or five, and that turns into 5 minutes or 5 minutes of your egg practice or 5 minutes of just moving your body, that is so much more digestible than committing to these big, huge things.
Exactly. Yeah. That's actually one of the things I really like about yoni eggs. And I'm not gonna say that this is ideal, right? Ideally, you want to do the practice when you have time, even if it's 10 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. But you dedicated time for this specifically. You took time for yourself, you're alone, you can relax, you can really tune into your body. This is ideal. But if you don't have time, and I had to do that sometimes, I would just put it in, I'd go to work, and I'm sitting in the work meeting at my desk. In the work meeting, I don't have to talk. And I'm like, at this table with 20 men. Uh-huh. And I'm just sitting there, and I'm flexing my muscles, and I'm working my egg.
And I bet you're just glowing. They're just like, somehow it's just a little more balanced in the room now that you're practicing with your egg at the business.
I bet people could feel that.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Another thing I really like to do is sometimes when I go to yoga class and I know that it's not going to be too challenging, if it's going to be more on a yin side class, more relaxing, I have more time to tune into myself, I would use yoni egg too in yoga. It's actually a great addition. I love it.
Wow.
I love it because it engages different muscles too. It like forces you to engage your pelvic floor and your abdominal muscles too. And you become more aware of that. And also in different poses. Even if you go, let's say, to Richard Freeman's studio, you know, Ashtanga, they put a lot of focus on Mula Bandha, which is also clenching your pelvic floor.
Yeah.
So people who practice yoga, they know about Mula Bandha and how it's actually, if you really feel into it, if you sit and meditate and do Mula Bandha, you realize like it's this nitro button for your body, pretty much. It's so much energy going up your spine if you're doing this. So when you use yoni egg, it just brings more awareness. It forces you to work those muscles more often because you remember you have the egg there.
Right. But, and it's weighted. I mean, if you've never felt a yoni egg before, I mean, it's, I don't know any ounces or anything. Maybe you know better than me, but it's a weighty egg.
And, especially jade.
Yeah. And jade is heavy.
Yeah.
I love that you mentioned just like kind of popping it in there and going about your day. I have a funny, kind of embarrassing story. So I've been working with the egg. Yeah. There should be a whole anthology of embarrassing yoni egg stories. When I was a server, I would do the same kind of thing, like just pop it in there and then just walk around for 8 hours on the floor with my yoni egg.
Exactly.
And I worked in a restaurant where he had a really great wine list. And what you don't kind of realize is that your pelvic floor, like any other muscle, gets kind of tired after a while.
Definitely.
And if it's weighted and kind of like holding this little weight after a while, like eventually your pelvic floor gets tired and it slips out. Well, that happened to me. I was wearing jeans.
Oh, nice. But I was just about to ask if you were wearing a skirt.
While I was opening, like table side, I had just sold this beautiful bottle. I think it was like a Chardonnay or something. It was like a $120 bottle of wine. And while I'm uncorking it tableside, like I just feel like my yoni egg slip out of my body. And I was just like, no bottles were broken, no glasses were broken. But it was like, this is hard to like keep.
Yeah, keep your face.
Keep a straight face. But adventures with yoni eggs.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet there's more funny stories out there with yoni
absolutely.
Eggs. We can probably create the whole thread on social media, funny yoni egg stories.
If you have any comments about your yoni egg story, please let me know or let us know. So why do you think it's so important to connect to this sacred space? Like why now? We talked a little bit about the potential of this space, but why is it important, especially for women, to do something either like a yoni egg practice or just connecting with the body in that way?
I think if I will talk about all the reasons why I think it's important, we're not going to be able to in our podcast. Uh-huh. Well, where do I start? I think one of the reasons is I think it's important to do the yoniing practice or connect with that part of our bodies, is especially for women, as you mentioned, especially mm-hmm. for women, is because if you think about men and their sex, they see it all the time. They're connected with it all the time.
Yes.
So they don't feel any shame about it. They don't feel like it's, what is it? I'm not in touch with it. They're in touch with it all the right. time. It's right in yeah. front of them. They're, you know, like comparing the sizes.
Totally. And like feeling themselves when they go to the bathroom.
Exactly.
That's a great point.
And then for women, I don't know about you, right? But when I was a teenager, because internet wasn't really that big thing when I was a teenager, I was just so worried. What if something is wrong with me? What if I'm not like, what? It looks kind of weird to me. Like, am I all right? Like, right. I mean, so you don't really have the point of reference. I think still women don't really know, like even looking at themselves mm-hmm. can be a really powerful experience and it can be really scary, you know? If you just take the mirror, put it there, look at yourself, it can be really not shocking, but really difficult. It's almost like hearing your voice recorded for the first time.
Yes.
If you see it for the first time, it can be really intimidating. And this, I think it affects the way we feel about our bodies a lot. So I think that for a lot of women, it's almost like my vagina is sitting in China. I don't really know much about it. So right. you kind of cut it out. You cut out anything that is below the belt, and it leads to a lot of stagnant energy. That's why we have a lot of female health problems too, you know, cysts and all kinds of stuff like that. It's mm-hmm. just the stagnant energy. It's you basically rejecting your body on a subconscious level. So yeah, I think it's just important to connect with your body in general and accept your body fully.
Absolutely. I don't know if you've heard of this artist. He did the Great Wall of Vaginas.
Oh, I've seen that. That's awesome.
It's fascinating. Mm-hmm. And when you mentioned us, like as women, it's not external. We can't like look between our legs unless we like kind of crunch over. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, what am I supposed to look like in quotes, what is a normal, it's not even vagina. It's like your vulva. Like yeah. What are you supposed to look like? And even now with the internet, I mean, there's not a whole lot of variance when it comes to what porn stars' vaginas look like. They're pretty all across the board, pretty the same. But I think that's really a really important thing to acknowledge is, and to get familiar with, like normalize yourself, not only with your own, but knowing like vulvas come in all different spectrums of sizes and shapes and
exactly yeah. just like your lips, nose, your right. ears.
Exactly.
We all used to see all kinds of ears, right? We never even question how my ears supposed to look. Are my ears weird?
Right.
Maybe when we're kids, we are, you know, if we get picked on because of our ears.
Right.
But in general, yeah, it's just like, here's the ears, right? When mm-hmm. there is so much anxiety around your vulva, mm-hmm. around your organs, how they
yeah.
look.
Yeah. So, how does this practice inform people or inform women into kind of tapping into that inner divinity or tapping into that inner wisdom? Like what's the connection between the two?
You mean what's the connection between getting in touch with your...
With your, yeah.
Yoni this, and,
yeah. And the whole... Sacred space, yes. This energetic area and being in tune with your inner wisdom or your higher source or whatever you mm-hmm. want to call it, God, goddess. What's the connection?
Well, I think for me, the connection is, That's a very broad subject. But for me, spirituality is getting a lot of it. It's getting in touch with your body and learning from your body. I just love the idea of listening to your body and learning to it. Learning from it, sorry. Because I think a lot of times we spend in our brains, in our minds, and we're disconnected from our bodies. Not just yoni, not just heart. We disconnected from our bodies in general. Mm-hmm. And there's all these practices like yoga, meditation, other things that help us get back into the body. And I think the reason it's important, well, like with yoni eggs, right? Like one first obvious thing for sex, right? If I want to have good sex, I want to be able to dive into my body, to right. drop into my body.
And to feel. Right?
To feel it.
Yeah.
But I think there is a deeper reason too. And I think our body has so much wisdom for us to learn from. Much more awareness, much more wisdom than our rational brain. And I think that if we get in tune with it, we will be just more in the flow with our life. I think that's what feminine is for me, is being in the flow and not resisting. And it's really hard for me to do myself, right? I'm still learning because I've always been a really rational person. I always thought I've been very level-headed. I went to engineering school. I worked for software companies. Yes. You know, I'm really in my head. I'm really airy, spacey. Like, mm-hmm. it's really hard, really easy for me to get lost in my mind. And I've come to realize that all my level-headedness, all that I perceived as my level-headedness, it was just me suppressing the emotions, basically. Mm-hmm. And when you are, like, suppressing, not listening to your body's reaction. And, you know, when we say listen to your heart, I don't think to me it's like, oh, I just want to do this, I don't want to do that. It's like really tuning into your heart and seeing how it feels and why. You know, if you in with the other person, you feel a certain way, there is a reason why your heart tells you. And the same with your yoni, mm-hmm. you know. There is, if you're feeling a certain way, it tells you. Like, if you really listen to it, the voice is loud. The voice of your body is loud. It yes. really tells you why. I mean, not why. It tells you something, right? If you're feeling pain, if you're feeling numb, if you're feeling, like, if your libido is low or the opposite, it really tells you something. And if you override this voice all the time, if you override it with your mind, eventually it kind of becomes numb. You know, mm-hmm. if you talk to the person and they tell you something, and you just keep disregarding what this person tells you. Like, you know, if you talk to a friend, and they talk to you, and you always just interrupt them and totally override what they say, they
no, will you're wrong.
Yeah, yeah, they will eventually stop talking to you. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what we do a lot with our bodies. We feel a certain way, and we deny it. Like, we don't want to listen to it. We override it with our brains, and that's where our bodies become numb. Mm. That's where the energy becomes stagnant.
Yeah.
And it also results into, I think it just makes it us number as people. Yeah. You know, we don't allow ourselves to feel certainly.
Right. And also, you know, that friend that you're not listening to, whether it's a real friend or your sacred space,
yeah.
you know, they can also go the opposite way. Like, I really feel like all of this dysfunction with, like, fibroids or endometriosis or, you know, even yeast infections and mm-hmm. Urinary tract infections and irregular cycles, like, that is all our body telling us we're, you know, pay attention.
Exactly.
This is
it's like
important.
Screaming at us.
Yes. Like, instead of going numb, it's like beating you with yeah. over the head with something. Like, listen to me.
Totally.
Yeah, I love everything you're saying about really tuning into your body and allowing that to be a compass as well. Yes, mm-hmm. your mind is incredibly good at figuring things out.
Yeah, it's a great tool.
It's great. It's awesome. Its job is to figure things
yeah,
out.
It's a great tool, but it's a horrible master.
Yes. Yes, I love that. And tuning into the wisdom of the body and knowing that it is infinitely wiser than our minds, and wise in a very ancient way.
Mm-hmm.
I almost feel like when I connect to my body through movement or through meditation or through like the yoni egg practice, it's a different kind. I get a different kind of message. Like it's a different flavor. Mm-hmm. You know, it's something.
It's just knowing without thinking. It's just knowing. Mm-hmm. You just know it.
Something else. Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And something else that I've begun doing is like womb meditation. So just like meditating on this and the pelvic bowl and the sacral chakra and kind of realizing that my creativity has just gone like totally off the charts, like productivity in terms of like ideas coming mm-hmm. like one after another, or writing a lot, like writing stuff either for my blog or for myself or for my work. Just it comes so much more effortlessly than it ever has before. And I think these practices, I truly believe that these practices are totally connected. You know, this influx of creativity with just paying attention to the body, becoming mm-hmm. more embodied, and paying attention to just bringing attention to that space.
That's an awesome feedback. Yeah, this is totally awesome.
Creative.
It is.
Yeah.
That's what they say, that woman's creative source of creativity is the womb. Mm-hmm. That's where ideas come from. That's not just babies, which is awesome too. You know, you have the ability to grow life inside of you. Mm-hmm. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
You have this like house for life inside of you, but mm-hmm. it doesn't have to be babies. It can mm-hmm. be ideas, just as you described it, you have an experience with it.
Yeah. So do you have any experiences like that, like life pre yoni egg practice or, you know, mindful embodiment practice? Because really that's what we're talking about. Like mm-hmm. there's so many different spiritual embodiment practices and the yoni egg is just one of them. So do you have any sort of like pre versus post embodiment practice? Like, what do you notice about yourself?
What do I notice about myself?
Huh. You started a business.
Yeah, I did.
So that's like a creative baby that you birthed.
Oh, it is. Yeah, still nurturing it. Mm-hmm. I just birthed it recently. So yeah, that was a creative baby. I think that's totally related to me being more embodied. I think the reason I really wanted to start this business and feel good about it is because I think like I started to realize that our bodies are these crazy spaceships almost, you know, like these devices. We have ability to drive through space and we just like, you know, sit there, push the buttons, listen to the radio, you know?
We're just like, pressing our hands on the control panels, like pounding stuff.
Exactly. Uh-huh. And all these practices, the embodiment practice, they're here to like teach us to fly the spaceship, basically. So I felt really good about it.
I love that. I love that. We're just learning to fly the spaceships. Ah, mm-hmm. Oh, that's fascinating.
So I think, I don't know if that's going to sound appealing when I'm about to say before and after embodiment practices, but I think that, as I said, I used to be more level-headed, kind of even kind of person. Mm-hmm. Now I'm just, I think, becoming all over the place, you know, the pendulum just keeps swinging. I think I'm allowing myself to feel the emotions as they come up more, and not just feel the emotions, but I think once you really feel something in your body and feel it fully and you don't have a resistance, it's not only enjoyable, even, you know, your neuroses is like, I don't know, sadness and anxiety, hurt, whatever it is, pain, it's almost enjoyable in a way, because it's you feel human, you feel this like raw experience, you feel more alive.
Yes.
It's an enjoyment of being alive. But then as you feel something you would usually have resistance to, on the other side it's something very pleasurable, very enjoyable, like you feel a lot of love or gratitude, like there's so I think just becoming more alive after starting the embodiment practices.
Yeah.
And I think I also started navigating the situations or like my relationships with people more. And I know that there's been a couple of instances. I'm going to tell a really funny story. Right. Awesome. Yeah, but there's going to be a lot of instances when I actually allowed myself to feel something and thinking, why am I feeling this right now? Instead of feeling like, oh, I shouldn't be feeling this right now. This is not okay of me. You know, this is like my rational mind is trying to still use the old patterns and override why I'm feeling a certain way. And then I'm like, okay, no, I'm going to see why am I feeling this. And I would feel something and I would realize that, like, it's not just hurt. Like, the reason is there is, like, a love underneath or something else. And it would totally change the situation. Like, I would be, let's say, in a fight with somebody. Like, not fight, an argument. And then I'm like, well, I had this instance a couple of days ago with my partner, right? And we were supposed to do something together on the weekend, which we thought was really significant for both of us, for our relationship. Mm-hmm. And then he had, like, a work opportunity came up. And he's like, you know, I think we're going to reschedule, like, do it another time, because I think that's important for me. And I'm like, well, yeah, it's for work, you know, that's important. I agree with you. And I feel so hurt. And I'm like, why am I feeling this pain right now? I don't understand why am I feeling this pain. I so 100% agree. This is important for him. He should do this. And I just can't stop feeling it. I'm trying to calm myself down, pretending. I'm like trying to talk myself into not feeling it. I'm like, Anya, this is not okay. Okay, like, just chill out. This is not okay to feel this. Like, you totally understand that he needs this. And I'm like, okay, you know what? I 100% agree. You need to do this for work. But I feel this pain, and I just wanted to tell you I really feel this. Mm. And he's like, I feel this too. I feel so much pain right now. Mm. And it just totally switched, you know. And we were kind of in this, not argument, you know, but there's something between us. The energy wasn't really flowing, and I don't know if it's a good term to use. Yeah. The energy wasn't flowing, but it's very bolder.
We're not in argument. Our energy is just not flowing.
It's totally bolder.
Yeah. No, but it's true. I mean, it's very true. You feel that blockage. You feel something you feel between you.
Blockage. You feel something is off, right? And instead of trying, as I usually do, trying to kind of override it and forget about it, shove it under the rug. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, I'm really feeling it. I'm going to feel it. And he's like, I'm feeling this too. And it totally switched, the dynamic switched, and there was so much love underneath, and we were just, we had an amazing moment after that. So, you know, it's that. Like every time you feel something, there's some kind of difficulty or hurt, there is an opportunity for more there, for more love, for more opening, you know? That was really important for me, like that was really powerful for me to actually experience that right there.
And it's so easy to go the opposite way, to hold it in and then convince yourself to feel something else and ignore the emotion that you're feeling and then harbor some kind of resentment. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we've all been there where it's you get mad in your head over a conversation that is going on in your head. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly you're mad at your partner or you're mad at your friend or your mom or whatever.
Exactly.
But be having that open communication and being honest with each other, it seems so simple and it's such a hard practice. Or even just acknowledging that, why am I feeling this? Or acknowledging the emotion that you are hurt.
Mm-hmm. You know, just acknowledging that to yourself, it's a really huge step.
And you and I were talking about this earlier, this, you know, so often, not only women, but everybody just sort of needs to justify or needs a reason to feel a certain way or to treat yourself or to do something that's good for you. Like, we need to have a reason for it. When it's like, no, I'm pissed off because I'm pissed off, or I'm going to buy myself new shoes because they're really fucking awesome. You know, whatever it is, you know, we have this desire to rationalize so much. And that's all kind of like in the, like what you're talking about, sort of like in this cerebral way, and then getting grounded and getting back in the body and realizing like, okay, I'm feeling this way, sort of gives a different perspective to what you're feeling and offers that sort of like witness consciousness that they're always talking about in yoga.
Yeah. And it's almost like, you know, it's easier in a way when you feel it in your body. It's almost like easier to give that responsibility to the body in a way. Like, I'm just feeling it. I don't know why. I'm just feeling it. Mm-hmm. I don't have to rationalize it, as you just said. And I think the reason we have this justification, the reason we need to explain to ourselves why we're doing certain things, like, why is it okay for us to go get a massage? Why is it okay for us to go buy yeah. shoes, you know? It's the masculine society, the mm-hmm. rational part. Mm-hmm. And we've been suppressing the feminine for so long. The feminine is just more feeling. The feminine mm-hmm. is flowing. It's ever-changing.
Yes.
And it can be sad and falling apart one minute. And then the other minute, it's rejoicing.
Yes. You know? And it's really important, I think, that you mention that, because instead of the reason we can rejoice after feeling so sad is because we feel so sad. We allow ourselves
exactly.
to feel so sad. If you're like, no, I'm going to be happy. I'm never going to be sad. Then you will like crush, you know, you crush your ability to go back and forth between the extremes. And
yeah.
like you say, feeling those cycles, like once you allow yourself to feel sad or angry or upset, that's when you move through it and then it's gone. Mm-hmm. You don't have to get weird and anxious and dysfunctional about it. Just let yourself feel sad.
Yeah. Just let yourself feel and forget about it
yeah.
in the next moment. It's what kids do. You know, that's yes. why they're so joyful. They cry in one moment. They forget about it the next, but right. the mom is going to think about it all day.
It's totally true. It's totally true.
I have a funny story about that. I was going to tell you.
Uh-huh.
So my mom visited me first time in September. And we went to Mexico for a few days. That was my first time in Mexico. And we were staying in the hotel. Because that's what my mom likes. She likes staying in the hotels when everything is included. You know, you can
and
get...
the margaritas.
Yeah, totally. Margaritas, breakfast, coffee, fresh juices. Everything is included. You're on the beach. So she loved it. But we have this friction happening. Like, we would get in certain kinds of arguments and we couldn't resolve them. One day, we get into this argument and I was like, I'm so angry right now, but I'm going to have a really hard time expressing it to my mom. She's not going to understand. Like, I got to suppress it. I can't show it. I got to suppress it. I got to hold myself together, right? And then my mom left to dinner. I went to my room, I tried to meditate, I'm sitting there for 5 minutes, I'm like, I mean, just meditate, just calm down, and then I'm just feeling it so much, I'm like, I'm not gonna calm down, I can't, I have to go break something right now, that's what I need to do. So I went outside in the street, and there was a coconut palm, so I'm just picking coconuts from the palm, breaking them, and screaming in the middle of the night, I'm just screaming.
In the middle of the night.
Yeah, breaking coconut one after another, and then one of the residents came out. He was in the street looking at me. And I looked at him. I'm like, I'm just playing here. It's okay. I'm just playing. And I keep breaking this coconut and screaming. And then I think into maybe 5 coconuts into it, I just realized that I'm so relaxed. And I don't have any anger. And I look around and it's night, starry night, in this tropical paradise, palm trees. Really warm, humid air, you know, the type of air that just caresses your skin.
Yes.
And I'm just like, whoa. I look around and I walk around and they just start hugging trees. Like, I just start hugging palm trees. And I'm like, wow, I feel like an Eve right now in the Garden of Eden. It was a great example for me of like, what you just say, feeling something fully and then it will go away and switch into something else.
Yes.
That was so wonderful. I just felt blissed out.
Yeah. And the depth of how angry you were is just as deep as like the joy and peace and bliss that you felt.
Yeah. So that's my funny story.
I love that. So I'm going to try next time I get really pissed off. I'm just going to like 5 coconuts. I know. I just have to smash 5 coconuts.
Maybe pumpkins in Colorado.
Yeah, I don't know what we have around here, but I love that. Just getting it out of your system, just like discharging.
And we are not taught that in the society. Mm-hmm. You know, screaming is not okay, crying is not okay, especially for men.
Mm-hmm.
This is like all not okay to show emotions.
Right. Except anger.
Except, yeah.
Anger for men is okay. And then all of the stuff that we don't know how to feel. And for women too. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm definitely one of those people who, instead of crying, I got angry. Or instead of feeling upset or feeling vulnerable, I was pissed off all the time. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of anger growing up, you know, because that's one of the emotions that it's like okay to feel. And mm-hmm. technically, I mean, really, it's not like women are not supposed to be angry, but you know.
Yeah. I think I felt a lot. I had the opposite experience. I've had felt almost a lot of sadness or numbness when I was a teenager. And now I'm realizing it was anger. I'm actually a really angry person.
Yeah.
Which was not easy for me to admit, but you just don't really know how to discharge that. And now I would, like, drive around and scream if I need to, and then I'll go break coconuts.
Yeah. There's a practice called Koya, and it's a mixture of yoga and sensual movement and like freeform dance. And a big part of it is after moving through this energy of the freeform dance, you shake. You shake your hand and you shake your feet and you shake your legs, and there's music that's playing, and you just spend 3 to 5 minutes just shaking.
Oh, this and is awesome. I love it.
I mean, yeah. And it's, you know, when you look in the wild, they teach this in, like yoga for trauma trainings all the time. Mm-hmm. Like when you look at animals in the wild after the rabbit escapes the wolf, you know, they go and they shake.
Mm-hmm.
They shake out all that discharge. Like you don't hear of traumatized rabbits that are
exactly.
like PTSD. You know, they discharge all of that energy. And we have no, in our modern society, have no outlet for that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, shaking yeah. or moving or dancing, you know, so many times we are at our cubicles and don't get enough exercise and don't get enough movement. And if it is movement, it's because I need to lose 10 pounds
exactly,
and
yeah.
I'm going to freak out about that. And that's going to be traumatizing for me. So that kind of embodiment, and we're all, you know, this goes back to that embodied practice, is so good for just moving and connecting for the sake of moving and connecting.
This is awesome what you just said about the shaking. I was about to bring that up too,
yeah.
about the rabbit. Actually,
yes.
It goes further with the rabbit and the gazelles, you know, like
yeah.
lion attacking the gazelle. Gazelle gets away, she shakes it off, and she's fine. And they actually done studies when somehow they caught the gazelles after that, and they contained them so they couldn't shake. You know what happened?
What?
The gazelle would die.
Wow.
Animals would die if they could not shake off the trauma.
Wow.
And
that's
yeah,
fascinating.
This is crazy to me.
That's fascinating. And I mean, it's a wonder then we're not dead.
Right? Well, like emotionally we are.
Yeah, emotionally, yeah.
yeah.
Or we find other ways to sort of numb out,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, like drug addictions.
Or TV.
TV.
Shopping.
Yeah, any
eating.
Kind, yeah. Sex even can be an addiction.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, that is so fascinating. You mentioned a little bit about your own personal practice. Like, I know, like, just from us talking, like, you have a background in yoga and you use your egg, but how do you really stay connected with all that you've discovered? Even almost, like, your cracking the coconuts. That's kind of a practice, isn't
mm-hmm.
it? Like, discharging
yeah.
that energy is a practice. So what else does your practice look like these days, whether incorporating the egg or not?
I think for me, meditation probably the most powerful practice there is. Also, I've done a couple of shamanic journeys. Those are really powerful. But I think the meditation is the most sustainable practice,
mm-hmm.
especially embodied somatic meditation. So I think every time I do meditation in the morning, I have a totally different day than when I don't. Being in nature, too, I
mm-hmm.
think it's really important, especially for modern people. Winter is actually really tough for me because I'm not outside as much. So yeah, trying to be in nature, meditating, yoga, yoni egg, massage, self-massage, mm-hmm. just touch, I think is really important. Mindful eating, I think is another thing that is really important. When you eat, actually sit down and eat mindfully. Yes. Also really hard
just
for me.
Wrote yeah, like about just, that, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I have seen that. Uh-huh. I've seen the title.
And I like that you mentioned somatic meditation too. And it's almost like the, well, and explain what you mean by somatic meditation.
Somatic meditation to me is when you go into your body. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's somatic. Body.
Right, body oriented. Mm-hmm. And in a lot of ways, the yoni egg practice is a somatic mm-hmm. meditation or a somatic practice, which is, you know, just connecting the mind and body. And I love that you mentioned mindful eating too, because it is so hard, especially when we're busy and especially mm-hmm. in our society where you eat at your desk.
Yeah.
And, you know, you pop something in the microwave and then just like, you know, we don't chew our food anymore, you know?
Totally. We just inhale. That's yeah. why smoothies are so popular. I don't think smoothies,
you don't have to chew them.
I don't think they're even as popular because of their health benefits as much as because you don't have to chew.
That would not surprise me at all. That's great. So if somebody's interested in either the egg practice or kind of getting more in touch with that embodied spirituality, what would you recommend to start? Like, where does somebody start?
Well, for meditation, I'd say start with 10 minutes a day. Mm-hmm. Any kind of meditation that works for you. I do think that somatic meditations are, at least for me, I'm not going to say that this is a cookie cutter for everybody.
Sure,
you should do this kind of meditation right. and like chant the mantra and everybody's going to be happy after this. No, I think you should find what works for you. I did find that somatic meditation is the most powerful practice for me. Even 10 minutes a day is great. Yoni egg is this practice of not just connecting to your body, but also kind of tending to yourself, you know, having a sacred
yes.
ritual. And mm-hmm. I think it's really important to bring back the ritual for women. Mm-hmm. And I think it's good to start with the yoni egg, or you mentioned the yoni steaming. I'm really
yes,
curious
I
about that.
I love steaming. I'm obsessed with it lately.
Yeah, I would love to hear more about that. But I think once you start doing having ritual around food, having ritual around mm-hmm. your yoni steaming, yoni egg practice, your life will become a ritual, you know? It can spill out and your whole life can be lived as a ritual too.
Yes.
Everything can be a ritual. With yoni eggs, what I like about them is they're this really beautiful crystal, you know, it's pleasant to hold it in your hand. Mm-hmm. It's an element of earth. They all have different character. They all have different, even, you know, if it's two jade eggs, or two rose quartz eggs, they're going to look differently. And they're so unique, just like every one of us, you know, they all have their character. So this egg can become your friend, you know, mm-hmm. you kind of can bond with it. And I'm not a person who, I do feel crystals, but not as much as some people do. And I think for some people, it's working with the crystal can be a really important part. If somebody started with a yoni egg, I would recommend to start with jade, pretty much for everybody. That's how traditionally in Taoist practices, women start working with yoni eggs. They would start with jade egg. Jade is really healing. It's a grounding stone. It's root and its chakra. Oh, sorry. It's root and its heart chakra.
Mm.
It is really healing to your body. Chinese are crazy about jade.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's yeah. really, really expensive there. Mm-hmm. Jade in general is an expensive stone. There's a lot of fake jade too. Mm. And I would say if you're shopping for jade, I would look for nephrite jade. It's dark in color. It's usually not cheap.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you're buying jade, it's gonna last you a lifetime. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really hard, non-porous stone, it's hard to break. So even if you just started and, you know, you're being clumsy and you dropped it a couple times, you're probably not going to do anything. Like with rose quartz, right. You're probably going to discard that egg. Mm. With jade, it's going to be okay.
It's tough.
Yeah, it's good weight too. Mm-hmm. And because the energy is so gentle, but powerful and healing, it's okay to wear it all day. It's okay to wear it for a couple of days. Because I've heard people working with rose quartz, right? And rose quartz is heart chakra. And it's everywhere. It's stated that it's a stone of unconditional love. If you want more love in your life, you should work with rose quartz. Well, to me, that's true. But also, if you've ever done heart meditations, you know, you never know what's the outcome going to be. You know, there is so much love in our heart, but there is also a lot of pain and trauma. Mm. And as you work through it, you're going to unpeel layer after layer, and some layers are going to be really painful. So that's the rose quartz work too. You work with it and the vibration is going to work with your heart. So I've heard some people working with rose quartz and they're like, I'm having all these mood swings. I don't know what's going on. Is this okay? Should I start with a different one?
Yeah.
So jade is not going to have this kind of effect. It's mm-hmm. more grounding. Mm-hmm. And next egg the woman would start working with in Taoist practice is obsidian, actually. Mm-hmm. It's not rose quartz. So they work with three traditional stones. It's jade, obsidian, and rose quartz. Obsidian is a stone that brings up the trauma. It's really protective stone from the outside, but it's uh-huh. gonna bring up all your trauma. And not just trauma, the shadow, the demons, yeah. you know, how we call them, the shadow part.
Yeah.
And it's gonna force you to work with it. So you don't want to walk around all day working with your shadow, right. you know. You want to do this meditative practice. And then you sit down and you meditate and you tune into yourself. And if something comes up, you maybe pause. If it's too much, feel it. But if it's too much, maybe pause, journal, take a break.
Shake.
Yeah, shake it off. Yeah. Shake it off. Uh-huh. Yeah. come back to it when you feel mm-hmm. like it. So in Taoist practices, I think the reason they structured that way that you work with jade, then jade is kind of healing, you know, preparing you. Heal your emotional body and your physical body, then obsidian will bring up all the trauma, will force you to work with it, will, you know, release all these prisoners from the dungeons mm-hmm. that you've been holding there. And then only after that, you will be working with your heart. You will be wow. opening your heart, because then you'll be ready.
Yes.
But that's traditional sequence, you know. I think that every woman knows what's best for her.
Right.
I do think that, you know, if you feel drawn strongly towards a certain kind of stone, you should just go for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and see what happens.
I love that. I had no idea about the progression. So can you work with the stones interchangeably? Can you...
Totally.
So if you're having like a... If you're not up for working with obsidian, your obsidian egg, you can go back to your jade egg for today. If you're,
yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, you can totally have a few stones and, you know, you uh-huh. have your meditation and you just have to be aware of the effects and you yeah. work with intention. So I wouldn't recommend somebody to just walk around all day with obsidian, right? Jade, sure, go for
right.
it.
Yeah.
But obsidian, I mean, some people can. Again, there's no cookie cutter, but just be aware that there might be effects. Mm-hmm. And it's good to, maybe today I'm going to work with obsidian, you know, mm-hmm. I'm prepared for it. Maybe today I feel like working with rose quartz. Maybe another day I'm going to use jasper, mm-hmm. you know. It's beautiful. All these tools we have. It's awesome.
So all of the stones you just mentioned, along with different sizes, they can, if people are interested, they can get them on yoniegg.com, which is the Love Stones website. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah. And I have seen your products and they are so beautiful. The last time we met, Anya just laid out these beautiful eggs. They're drilled and not drilled and all different colors and that really beautiful heavy jade. I'm so feeling the jade egg right now.
Oh, thank
the
you.
Jade one is so beautiful. And all of them, I posted a picture on Instagram. I was like, the magic jade hen came and he came bearing yoni gifts. So they're just really beautiful. So is there anything else that you would like to add that we didn't cover that you just want to kind of put out there?
Well, I think since we're talking about yoni eggs, I'm just going to say that I would recommend everybody to try it, not just because I'm all about unis. I do think this is great practice for anybody to try, and I would recommend to start with Jade. I would recommend most people to start with medium size. There, I'm just gonna give a couple of pointers.
Absolutely.
Who are interested in it. So if you never gave birth vaginally, then you probably be your best bet is medium size egg. It's really not that big if you look at it.
Right.
And some people, when you they receive it, they're like, oh, it's so small. What am I going to do with it? I'm not going to feel it. Well, you're not supposed to feel it at all times. Your muscles will work even if you don't feel it necessarily. They will, and they will get tired. And as you said, it can pop out.
That's when they pop out during my service.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's almost like, you know, if you have a tampon, you don't want to feel it at all times. It's just going to be uncomfortable. But as you engage the muscles, then you will feel it.
I see.
Yeah, and it's something to provide the point of reference for the muscles.
Okay. Like, and you can definitely feel it. Mm-hmm. And I practiced with a glass egg that wasn't any stone. It was just glass. And then compared to the jade egg, I mean, you definitely, it's a, like a little, like an awareness that's there. It's definitely weighty, which I actually really like. Like it's a nice reminder that you're working with something and it really brings your attention down there because you can feel it. But if you have given birth vaginally, you recommend a larger egg, starting with a larger egg.
I would recommend starting with a larger egg, unless you've been doing a lot of Kegels or maybe Pilates, you know, you have already good awareness of those muscles, you know, they're toned, then I would recommend to start with a medium-sized egg. But otherwise, if you gave birth, or if you're over 50, then larger egg is probably best bet.
And then you also sell the little small eggs, too, which are really small and for the advanced practitioner. And you sell them drilled and not drilled. So can you explain the difference, like why somebody would get a drilled egg as opposed to a non-drilled egg?
The drilled egg have two main advances to it. And one is you can put a string through the drilled hole so you can retrieve the egg, expel it anytime you want. So it kind of provides this comfort for a lot of women.
Uh-huh.
Again, you know, because we're so not in tune with our bodies, we don't, like, we worry about something getting lost there, you know? What if we're going to, like, get lost?
Yeah.
Where are we going to go? Well, it's not going to go anywhere.
Right.
But I understand the anxiety around it. So you can use the string to pull it out when you want. Another thing is you can attach the weights to the string, and you can actually do weightlifting.
That's why I chose the drilled egg.
Awesome.
Because I'm going to eventually start lifting weights with my vagina. And you and I are both fans of Kim Inami, who goes around the world lifting things
coconuts
with her vagina. And she's great. I'll put her in the show notes. Her Instagram is a riot. Something I want to add is that you give these beautiful little pamphlets with every egg. And it's really detailed. I love, like, there's like a little anatomy chart and how to start practicing, and then some meditation and advanced practices too. So you get this really cool comprehensive pamphlet and little how-to guide. And it comes with a beautiful bag, and everything is just so gorgeously presented. It's just like, I feel like I'm being treated.
Oh.
You know, it's so beautiful.
That's
so
really nice to hear.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous, like, it's a gorgeous stone, a gorgeous presentation. So I love it. Where can people find you, online or on Facebook?
Online is actually pretty simple. It's just yoniegg.com.
Yoniegg.com and yoniegg on Facebook.
Yeah, so you can read more on the website.
Yeah, and you have tons of information on the website too.
Pretty much too much.
Yeah. It's fascinating.
So I'm all about jade eggs and yoni eggs. And
I know, you're getting me into it too.
I think it's awesome for whether you want to get in touch with your body, you want to improve your sex life, you want to get back to shape after giving birth, you want to feel more, you want to feel more connected to your partner, to your body. There's so many great benefits. It provides the health benefits as well.
Yeah.
You know, as you mentioned, if you have, I'm not going to say right now that this is the cure-all, but if you do have some kind of feminine health problems, it it can jade can help, definitely help.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much for talking about ritual and your practice and the yoni eggs, and this has been so fun.
That was fun for me. And thank you for doing this podcast. Absolutely. And spreading the word. Absolutely. I think it's really important work right now.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah, we're both just doing the work, so thank you for doing your work as well.